Give you a moment to turn there if you have your Bible. Luke 7:31. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. But for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. I want to speak to you tonight, excuses or progress? Excuses or progress? You can be seated. I'm sorry, I didn't read the last part of that scripture. But wisdom is justified of all her children. I usually highlight all my scriptures in blue, and I didn't get verse 35. It is possible, or is it possible, that someone could actually get to meet both John the Baptist and Jesus, hear their teachings, look into their eyes, see how other people were changed, see the amazing lives they lived, and not be changed themselves? You ever wonder what it'd be like to see, you know, man, what it'd be like to be back and hear Jesus teach and preach? Or see John the Baptist in his camel get up? See the honey in his beard? You ever think those things? Or see, you know, Peter or Paul? But think about it, folks. Many people did. Many people heard Jesus speak. Many people heard John the Baptist speak, and they never were changed themselves. They saw John the Baptist preach to huge crowds and heard him preach. They saw Jesus heal the sick, feed thousands, and they heard him do amazing teachings. But they just turned away and went on with their lives. And Jesus doesn't really say it out and out. Okay, he doesn't come right out and say it. But from the context of the teachings or the context of the things that we read around this story, the people who couldn't find anything to change their lives in either John the Baptist or Jesus himself were not bad people, just stupid people. It's my interpretation of it, okay? They were good religious people, very religious people. And as religious and as smart as they may have been, they didn't use their religion knowledge or their intelligence for working out new lives. They used their Bible knowledge and their intelligence to make up excuses to just keep on doing what they always did. To keep right on walking down the comfortable road rather than the difficult road of discipleship. And what was their problem with John the Baptist? They said he was too serious. He lived out in the wilderness where it was uncivilized. He wouldn't even drink wine, and everybody drank wine. He had the cheapest clothes, like only really hard-up people would wear. He didn't even eat very nice food. He just foraged for what you could find in the wilderness, things like locusts and wild honey. Some people say gross. And they liked people who were civilized, who appreciated the finer things of life that God has given us to enjoy. So they had their excuses for not listening to John. He must be demon-possessed, they said, or something, if he's that different. Something's got to be definitely wrong with him. So, If God sent them a great teacher who just ate and drank like everybody else, would they be satisfied? Well, no, because Jesus came and spent a lot of time visiting people in their homes. And there was so much joy around him that people often invited their friends to come for a banquet and eat some really good dinners and meet Jesus. And Jesus was just really different from John. So did these people listen to Jesus? No. They just came up with another excuse. No, they said they wanted someone who was holier, who didn't hang around with the party crowd. They were so smart that they couldn't find fault with even John the Baptist and Jesus, the Son of God. And because they lived by making excuses rather than taking steps to change their lives, they actually missed out with God himself, came to earth, and walked in human form. You see, God was moving, and they missed it. You see, people wouldn't make the same mistake today, would they? Could some religious people do such a thing today? Could it be, folks, that God speaks to his people today to do something new and wonderful, and all he gets back is excuses? Could it be God speaking to you and say, you ought to help out, do this, you ought to get involved in that, you ought to try this, and everybody's saying, sure, God, I can do that? Or does he get excuses? We have teaching on Wednesday night. Come in and invest in your ministry, and we get excuses. You're here, so I'm not talking about you. Excuses or progress? You see, folks, just like these people watched John the Baptist and Jesus, many people who like to make excuses and complain about all their problems and life in general, these people will watch people that are involved in the church, working for God, working in the kingdom of God, watch how God blesses these people, listen to these people, encourage them to get involved, and so God will bless them if they'll get involved and continue to make excuses why they can't get involved. After watching people, God bless their lives. You see, one hindering habit that people struggle against is excuse making. Call it what you will. Call it justification. Call it rationalization. No matter what you call it, we call it a lot of times, it's just an excuse. Amen? And folks, isn't it amazing that the lengths that some people will go to make their excuses? You see, some people work harder on an excuse than anything else. Have you ever heard excuses for doing nothing in church? What excuses have you heard? What excuses do you hear? Yeah, there you go. Anybody else? Time. Tired? Oh, yeah. Shy? Any other excuses that you hear for people not getting involved in church? I'm sorry? Somebody better to do it? Not good enough? Anything else? Don't want to commit. Oh, that's a big one. It's something how they'll commit in the world, in their business world. Won't do it in church. Oh, dear Jesus, help me. You see, unfortunately, though, a lot of folks make excuses when it comes to their walk with God. I'm too busy to pray. I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. I wouldn't get it right with God, but I've just got too much going on in my life right now. Later might be better. So why do people make excuses, especially when it comes to their walk with God? You see, reason people make excuses is to get out of trouble. they blame others or blame something else. You see, if I could just blame something or somebody, maybe I'll blame my parents. Or maybe, oh, it's the weather. Blame the weather. Maybe I'll blame you. If I can take the blame off myself and put it on someone else, then maybe I'll just get out of trouble. See, people do it all the time, making excuses for mistakes. It's not new. In fact, we can trace this undesirable habit all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam, he blames God for who gave him the woman who gave him the fruit. And the woman, she blamed the serpent. And the only one not making excuses is the serpent. Do you ever think of that? You read about that in Genesis 3. My excuse for doing something wrong is an attempt to not receive blame to get out of trouble. A person who makes excuses is trying to shift the blame for himself or herself to something or someone else. A Christian, on the other hand, accepts responsibility for his or her wrongs, confesses them, and asks God to forgive them. That's what a real Christian does. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. You see, to deny a personal problem is denial. Aaron made a couple excuses in the Bible in order to deny his own part in molding a golden calf that was built for worship in the wilderness. Moses' brother Aaron. See, Moses went up to the mountain to talk with God. And while he was gone, the people grew impatient. The people grew doubtful, and they told Aaron to make a god for them. Aaron caves to the peer pressure and instructs the people what to do so that he can build an idol. But when Moses came back down from the mountain, he was irate and he broke the stone tablets, burned the idol, grinded it up in powder, and made the sons of Israel drink it. In Exodus 32, verse 21, he said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" In other words, he said, "What's your excuse, Aaron, for this wickedness?" Now notice that Aaron never accepted personal responsibility for what he had built. His first excuse in Exodus 32, verse 22, he says, "Do not be angry, my Lord." Aaron answered, "You know how prone these people are to evil." In other words, it's not my fault, it's the people's fault. Okay? His second excuse in Exodus 32, 24, "I threw it into the fire and out came a calf." Two excuses are always worse than one. Come on. The real problem is, folks, in Exodus 32, 25, Aaron had let them get out of control. He let the people get out of control. In other words, he wasn't leading. You see, he was supposed to be their leader, the high priest of God. And he failed the people as their leader. And rather than accept responsibility for his failure, he denied his sin. Proverbs 30, verse 12, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet it is not washed from their filthiness." You see, there's a lot of people think they're fine, think they're okay, but they have not been washed from their filthiness. You see, it is easy to blame others. It is easy to make excuses for evil thoughts and wrong actions. Excuses like, "Well, It's the other person's fault. Or excuse like, I just couldn't help it. Everybody's doing it. It was only a mistake. Nobody's perfect. You made me do it. I was pressured into it. Well, I didn't know it was wrong. God is tempting me. All of these excuses are denial of a personal problem. It's like the adulterous woman in Proverbs 30 and 20 says, this is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We have to understand we have issues, and the Bible says to confess them. Now, to get out of responsibility, that's called avoidance. Let's just avoid it. Let's stop paying attention. You see, there is an example of this in the life of Moses in Exodus 3. You see, God had spared Moses' life as a baby. He trained Moses in the house of Pharaoh. Now, I want you to listen to these things. God spared him as a baby. He trained Moses in the house of Pharaoh and blessed him with riches and blessings in Egypt. And with great blessings comes great responsibility. Now, I'm not only talking about spiritual blessings, but I'm talking about life in general, too. Many of us here in this church, God has blessed. But see here, God saved him as a baby, trained him in Pharaoh's house, blessed him with riches and things in Egypt, and with great blessings comes responsibility. And it was time for Moses to use his talent for God now. This was his duty, his obligation, his responsibility. And God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You see, but Moses, after all the blessings that God had given him and all the great things that God had done for him, Moses says he doesn't want all the responsibility. So he comes up with one excuse after that, the next. I'm not able. I don't have the talent in Exodus 3. They won't believe me in Exodus 4. I'm not a good speaker in Exodus 4. Someone else can do it in Exodus 4. And at this point, we're told in the text in Exodus 4:14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Would you want God's anger to burn against you? Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. I wonder what's going through God's mind. I saved your life as a child. You were raised in Pharaoh's house and learned leadership. You had all the riches. And now when I ask you to do something, you don't want the responsibility. You don't want to bless the kingdom? Benjamin Franklin once said, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Folks, listen, to keep from doing what we don't want to do, have you ever been asked to do something for someone, to take on a job, and you didn't really want to do it? Anybody? Yeah. You see, surely we've all been asked to do something we didn't want to do. And I think many times that we, when it comes to obeying the Lord, we hear excuses from people who really, deep down inside, don't want to obey God. You see, there's reason. The reasons are excuses. Jesus told a parable that illustrates our attempt to excuse ourselves from doing God's will. The parable is about a man who was giving a big dinner and invited everyone to come to this dinner. And in Luke 14:18, It says, but they all alike began to make excuses. Luke 14:18. The first one said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. You bought a field before you even looked at it. Sight unseen. Luke 14:19. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Luke 14:20. Here's the best one of all. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. You see, these people, folks, could have come to the feast. They just didn't want to. And that's the point of the parable. They could have come, but they just didn't want to. Do you see yourself in these excuses? I'll say it again. Do you see yourself in these excuses? Are you making excuses to get out of trouble, blaming others? Are you denying a problem, which is denial, getting out of responsibility, just avoiding things, or to keep from doing what you really don't want to do? If so, then you need to consider a few things that might persuade us to stop making excuses. Let's talk about some reasons for not to stop making excuses. Making excuses hinders people from seeing solutions. Come on. Nick, what I always tell you about the word can't. Can't means you don't want to. I always said if you put your mind to something, you can do it. You guys ought to see what I got my wife doing right now. My wife took my recliner apart and is recovering it. I got leather all over my floors. Can't means you don't want to. You see, making excuses hinders you from seeing solutions. If you just make an excuse for everything, how are you ever going to know that you can do something or can't do something? See, you become focused on why you can't instead of how you can. In fact, the habit of making excuses keeps one focused on obstacles. So many people today, folks, they can't do anything. Because they don't even want to try. In fact, the habit of making excuses keeps one focused on obstacles, folks. It's like the 10 of the 12 spies sent into Canaan land. They began making excuses, and all they could think of is why they couldn't conquer the land that God promised to give them. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 28, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Numbers 13:33, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. You see how they looked at themselves? They had no confidence. They thought we're nothing, we're nobody. Do you want us to always have look at obstacles and look at things and give excuses and never accomplish anything in life? You see, it is unfortunate that excuses destroy the lives of many people. A man by the name of Gerald Egan said, avoidance behavior and excuse making contribute to a great deal of psychopathology of the average. And I've said this, you've heard me say this many times, we live in an average society. But folks, I really want to, if I take another look at that again, we're probably looking at a less than average society. This is the land of opportunity that we live in. And I like to look at when you see in the Word of God where they built the Tower of Babel, what did the Lord say of the one-mindedness of them? They could do anything they put their mind to. Folks, people don't even understand the power of the mind today. Come on. It's an amazing thing. God created it. I believe it's limitless. Making excuses turns people into victims instead of victors. Victim society we live in. Look at where we're at. Proverbs 22:13, the lazy person claims there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. Yeah. But if you don't go outside, you'd be a prisoner. You see, excuses are the nails used to build a house of failure. A poor workman always finds fault with his tools. Folks, listen, making excuses reveals a lack of faith. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon was called, the Lord called Gideon a valiant warrior of God and was given the challenge to lead God's people out of oppression and out of defeat against the Midianites. God says, look, Gideon, I want you to lead the people. I can't. You're a man of valor, a great valiant warrior. But when he was given his mission, he began making excuses. In Judges 6, verse 15, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. You know, folks, if the Lord says you're a valiant warrior, then you really shouldn't argue with him. Come on. Don't argue with God. The scripture tells us that we are more than conquerors in Romans 8. See, you should have faith, and you should be a warrior that he made you to be. God doesn't accept excuses, folks. Stop making excuses. He doesn't accept them. God knows what he made. And God does not make junk. Okay? He does not accept your excuses. And I believe he's going to hold us accountable for excuses that we've made. One talented man offered excuses in Matthew 25. The master rejected his excuses. Matthew 25, verse 26, but the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Why? Because he hid his talent. And the Lord and the master called him, you wicked and lazy servant. This man was just wicked and lazy. In Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. He doesn't accept your excuses. You see, when Jesus talked to his disciples about how the world had rejected him and would reject him because of their spiritual, what? Blindness. Because of their spiritual stubborn hearts. He said in John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now, if they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, you can't cover it up. So, you say, well, I know why I make excuses, and I know why I should stop making excuses. But I've done it for so long, it's a habit. It's become a habit. How, then, can I break the destructive habit and overcome my excuses? Folks, don't expect perfect situations before you take action. Some people don't want to do anything unless everything is lined up perfect. Sometimes you just got to jump in and make things happen. Come on. This church was not a perfect situation. I was told, man, there's a parsonage with this church. There's this, there's that. Oh, that sounds pretty good. It was a house so small that probably fit on this side of the sanctuary. I said, no, thank you. It was in a storefront about 14 feet wide and 10-foot pews. So we had one aisle. We all went in and went to the right. Tarps dividing classrooms with rough cut wood ceilings, pipes and electric wires and everything running everywhere. You just go, folks. It doesn't have to be the perfect situation, because God will help you through whatever it is. Waiting for the perfect idea, situation, you'll never accomplish anything. And of course, sometimes there is a better time than others to do certain things, right? But you can't always sit around waiting for that perfect day. You see, at some point, you just got to do things even when it's inconvenient. And I know some folks say good things come to those who wait. Well, and in some cases, that's true, but more times than not. Okay? Good things are the leftovers from those who hustle and get things done. Right? You see, the person who really wants to do something finds a way, and the other person finds excuse. But folks, have faith that you can do all things. See, rather than complain about his circumstance and making excuses, Paul said this in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do it. You see, overcoming excuses will help you to start believing yourself and believing God instead of doubting yourself and doubting God. By overcoming excuses, you will gain confidence as you overcome instead of being overwhelmed. You want to be an overcomer or to be overwhelmed? See, but when we make excuses and repeat them often enough, they become a belief. The belief that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So have faith like Paul, and you can do all things through him that strengthens you. So, and folks, we need to realize the potential that God has given you. Realize it. See, we are responsible not for what we have, but for what we could have. Not for what we are, but what we could be. That's what God's going to hold you responsible for. See, because I believe, the person that always gives the excuse, they're going to stand there and try to give God excuses. And he's like, oh, no. I know what you could be if you just wanted to. I created you. He's got the manual, folks. He's not going to accept your excuse. Second Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. He's not going to accept your excuse. I didn't give you that timidity. That wasn't from me. I said you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. I said that with man, nothing's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God's not going to accept your excuse. Do you believe that verse, folks? For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do you believe that scripture? If you do, then live like it. See, while the false prophet in Israel were making excuses, the prophet Micah, whose name means like Jehovah, he said this in Micah 3:8, but truly I am full of power by the spirit of the Lord and of justice and might. So the next time you feel tempted to make excuses, remember the spirit within you. Ask God to help you stop making excuses. In Jeremiah 1, 4 through 7, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, the Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." God doesn't want to hear your excuses. You know what he says after that scripture? Excuse denied. Look for solutions instead of problems. Don't find an excuse. Find a way. Folks, I'm telling you, if you do this, stop looking for excuses. Find a way. Amen. This will change your mind from the pessimist to an optimist. Now think about this. John 5, 6 through 9. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Isn't that awesome? You think, that was kind of crazy of Jesus, but no. Some people are in such doldrums all the time, they're fine with it. They're fine with constantly having problems. You ever meet those people that they enjoy turmoil, they enjoy drama? You take them out of it, they wouldn't know what to do. They'd be pacing back and forth, pulling their hair out. Jesus said, "Do you want to get well?" He knew he'd been there. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now listen, this could be one of the greatest days of your life. If you decide, "I'm not making any more excuses. I'm going to allow God to use me." This could be one of the greatest days of your life. If you decide your life is your own. Stop making excuses. Stop looking to blame everybody else, everything else, every weather day, whatever. Stop. Decide your life is your own. No apologies, no excuses, no one to blame. The decision is yours. It is an amazing journey. And you alone are responsible for the quality of your journey. This is the day that your life will really begin. And when you stop making excuses in life and start making the progress in life, I'm sure, folks, that the adversary, the devil, is going to be giving you excuses of why you shouldn't do something for God, of why you shouldn't get right with God. Whatever. He's got a laundry list of them. The enemy is the master excuse maker. Do you need an excuse? Let me just pull this out. You see, you don't have to go to the internet to find an excuse. The adversary's got plenty of them. But it will cost you. It will cost you, if you take his excuse, it will cost you a life of mediocrity. It will cost you a life of defeat. It will cost you a life of potential that is never actualized, and it may cost you your eternity. It's your choice. Let's stand. Share this. Send it to somebody who's not here. Listen to it over and over again. God doesn't want our excuses. Come on. Amen? If you don't believe this, find me things against it. I dare you. All right? Thank you for being here, folks. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.